Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and today we are talking our keeper pod for the end of 2017. And we're going to do it a little bit differently. Instead of just talking about who we're keeping and dropping, we're going to do it in a style as your kiss, kill, and marry type scenario. So, but we're going to use cut, keep, and trade. So, for just an example, we've got in the forward line, so you've got Buddy Franklin, Handsome Tom Lynch, and Stevie Motlop. You're going to cut one of them, you're going to trade them, and
that feels
you're going to keep one of them.
So that feels really unfair. How do I drop Buddy?
I'll be trading Buddy. Keep Donuts Motlop, that's easy.
Boom.
So just a round table discussion in that sort of format, so we're going to have a bit of fun with it. And always to do the talking is Stevie Fizz. How you doing, pal?
Actually, it's been a rough week, listeners. Boys, well, Jono will know, in our league of record, one of the things I like to do when I make my picks is play a little theme music, usually one of the wrestling entrance musics, something like this. But look, we're 6 months away from draft day. I'm bored as hell, so I'm starting to pick out my music that's going to most annoy my league mates when I make my pick. So I'm going through some songs, and I thought, you know what's really annoying is that Frozen Let It Go song. Okay? The Frozen... You know, someone doesn't have any kids, but we'll get to that later. But anyway, one of the... Because I was on YouTube, and in the sidebar, there was a Taylor Swift. And I don't know Taylor... Look, I'm old. I don't listen to songs that are past 1997. I don't know Taylor Swift, so I play this song, and I'm like, oh my God, this is horrendous. This is going to annoy the hell out of my league mates. But something really bad happened. The song got stuck in my head. So I've been wandering around all week going, the haters going to hate, shake it up, shake it. And I can't stop singing the goddamn song. Like, Mrs. Fizz is just laughing at me, and just it's horrendous. It's killing
me. So now we know how to put you off on draft day. We just... put on a Taylor Swift album.
I've screwed myself.
Thanks for letting us on that detail. God. And the guy laughing in the background is the mayor of Tasmania. It is the Statesman himself. Welcome to you, pal.
Good evening, gentlemen, and welcome to all our listeners. Look, it's been a wonderful recovery from all the festivities of winning the Keeper Premiership. So I'm glad to be back in the hole, gentlemen, and working through some issues. But I will say, for the first time in my life, I watched a minimal amount of football during the first week of finals in the AFL. In fact, I think in total, I saw Thursday night's game, but in total over the weekend, I saw about 14 minutes, and that included the 10 minutes extra time between Port Adelaide and West Coast Eagles. And can I say, before the hysteria popped out, I was halfway through a tweet commenting that, is it just me, using another podcast line, but people creating head-high contact is a blight on our game. I decided not to put it out, and I thought, the haters are going to hate. and I thought, well, I don't need to enter into that conversation. But it's amazing what's come out afterwards. I'm not grumpy at the umpire that he paid the free kick, because I can understand how it looks. But the reality, a new law got put in for anyone that raises their arm that creates head-high contact, that they shouldn't be getting the free kick. It's exactly the same as ducking. That's why the rules were changed. But I also then thought, how many times did Port Adelaide, which is always my claim to players in saying, don't ever worry about umpiring decision until your decision-making, your disposal efficiency gets to 100%. Don't worry about one little decision. So I can understand why people are in hysteria and keeps talking about that subject. But how many times could have Port Adelaide nailed that victory in the last 14 minutes that I watched?
Or what, Charlie Dixon missed, what, two or three shots on goal in that extra time? So plenty of opportunity there for the Power. But in terms of the footy, you didn't miss much over the weekend. I mean, every game was put to bed quite early except for that West Coast Port Adelaide game. So it'd be interesting this week.
I will say I was driving down the main street of Hobart, and would you believe it, this car pulled up, rolled down the windows, and all they could tell me was about how good Richmond were. Thankfully, I knew the person that was sticking their head out of the window, but, geez, they're out and about, the Tigers supporters, aren't they?
They've even gone that far south into Tasmania. That's unbelievable.
Remarkable.
That's a Tasmanian Tiger, Jonathan.
There you go.
Did you see? There was grainy footage.
Taken on a Nokia 3310 or whatever it was.
Yes. No. We're big Tiger fans. Well, I'm a big Tiger fan, and let's just see the evidence is starting to mount up, boys.
So another trip for Steve to Tasmania to join the hunt.
It's on the cards.
There you go. A bit of news coming out over the weekend. The GWS's finals campaign has taken a massive hit, with Jeremy Cameron out for the rest of the season with a hammy tendon. And it's also come out that Big Mummy also gone for the rest of the final series with a foot fracture. So massive blow there for the Giants. But, in fact, it might actually help them now they're going to go with a smaller setup in the forward line, because it did work a couple of weeks ago. And especially when Cameron went off at half time in the Adelaide game, they seemed to improve. So your thoughts on that, guys?
Well, they could be too tall short in the forward line, because it all depends how you cover both Mummy and Cameron. So it could be a really good move, because if they finally sort of see the light and put Devin Smith back in that team up in the forward line, they should be kicking goals.
Is he fit?
Probably not.
Well, it's either that or Steve J as well.
Really good comments out there of people talking about just him not playing on the weekend, or how much his worth went up not actually playing the game. It's remarkable, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, I was shocked that they played all those tools when they knew it was going to rain, and was surprised Taranto wasn't a late inclusion. That's the way the cookie crumbles. And, Steve, you'd be a happy man, the big man himself, and I'm not talking about Sharon Goat. I'm talking about big Mason Cox, signed for 3 years, locked away. How do you feel about that?
A lot of regret, Jono. A lot of regret. As a Brady Grundy keeper, and a lot of regret.
Maybe he'll pop up in the show and could be a keep, cut, or trade option. Who knows?
Just set him on fire.
He's still a good ruckman with both of them in there, but he's just not the top two ruckman ones in there.
Yep.
No. So, certainly a slider for next year. But if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors and at Statesman33. We've got the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. Check us out on the Facebook as well, search The Draft Doctors. And we are on Instagram, search The Draft Doctors there. And Steve, while doing research for the show today, I Googled Rory Laird, and it came up Roy Laird for Central Districts, districts in the SANFL. It seems our man, Johnny Butch, had signed on for him, and he's coming 10th in the Sandful goal-kicking with the hope to get back to AFL next year. So fingers crossed there for big Johnny Butch.
That's awesome. We love Johnny Butch. Actually, I was speaking of Johnny Butch, I saw regarding the Josh Shackey news that's starting to leak that he might be seeking a trade, blah, 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 and they were saying, oh, he looks so great in the preseason. He lit Daniel Merritt up twice. And I thought, we used Johnny Butch for a 120 on the back of a Levi Casbolt 120 because they were playing on Dan Merritt. Beating Dan Merritt should happen. I could beat Dan Merritt. Maybe not. I beat him at Lawn Bowls.
But I will say, if you do want to come down a trip in Tassie, you should come down in spring because the weather is fantastic. It actually starts another 10 weeks, Steve.
Wait, what? What am I missing?
Spring starts in 10 weeks.
Oh, boom. That was a joke. That went over my head.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was a very good one, obviously.
I'm in off-season form.
But moving on to the content, as we said at the start of the show, it is our keeper pod, and we are doing it as our cut, keep, or trade. We've got three players each from each line. Steve's doing the forwards, I've got the defenders, and the Statesman has got the mid-ruck line. Steve, take it away with your first three, mate.
Yeah, boys, I want to know who out of these three you are keeping, trading, and cutting. The young guns, we've got Christian Petracca, Jesse Hogan, and Jordan DeGoey. Statesman, give us your thoughts from a dream team perspective. Who are you keeping and trading cutting?
Petrarca, DeGoey.
And Jesse.
Well, because Jesse's your boy, I'm cutting him. But I will say, I would think differently if I was talking super coach there. So my immediate reaction straight away is you don't go for the key position players in AFL fantasy scoring. So Jesse, to me, is the one you put aside. Yes, he's going to have some big games, but he's going to lose you some rounds as well. So don't go through that. Actually go through the scenario of keeping your mid-slant forwards. So, therefore, it puts it in a race between Petrarca and DeGoey. Now, let's face facts. Petrarca is going to be an absolute jet, but he hasn't got the tank right now, but they'll keep on improving. I think he averages around the 70 to 72. So, he's solid, but could be something special. DeGoey, we're a little bit unsure whether he's going to be a magnet, but I'm thinking that's where his opportunity is. My problem is, where does he fit into Collingwood's midfield? So the reality with DeGoey, because of his late season form, I reckon people were quite excited at what he can provide. So I actually think that DeGoey has got greater trade value right now than Petrarca has. But who's the absolute jet? I reckon Petrarca. So my thought process on that was keep Petrarca. He's going to be a jet and will get midfield time because they still need some real quality in that midfield. So he's, even though the spurts are going to be short, he's going to get that. Trade DeGoey because I think his end of season form makes people quite excited. So therefore he's got good value. So you're going to get something for him and you drop Jesse Hogan.
Yes, fair enough. Jono, what do you think, man? Supercoach, give me some Supercoach takes.
Look, I'm keeping Jesse Hogan for me. I just think, what is he, in his early 20s, he's just going to be absolute gun. He's a bull of a forward. Certainly we've seen him, he's got that really high ceiling. Once Melbourne stopped learning how to choke and just get the ball clean inside there while using CP5, he's just going to be a keeper for a long time. And the way the game's changing, you don't have that stay-at-home forward anymore, so mark kick goal. We've already seen him. He pushes up into the ground already into that midfield. So in spurts, as Statesman was saying with DeGoey. Petrarca, he'd be my trade bait. We've seen him. He's shown a glimpse of explosiveness. Again, he's going to probably have that mid-forward role for a long time in the DPP status, which is great. I would see him averaging 90s as that forward. So, and if you roll him around to that midfield in the bye rounds, that'd be great. DeGoey, I haven't seen enough of him. He's still pretty young, so I'd be cutting him for me because I think you can get him back at a later time for me.
Yeah, I'd do the exact same as Jono. And the reason why I do it, I think DeGoey, if he's going to have some value, it's probably as a midfielder, and I don't think he's going to be a high scoring midfielder, so if he loses that forward status, that's a killer. And the thing that worries me about Petrarca is I'm worried that it's going to actually be a really slow burn to get to those high 80s averages.
Yeah.
You might disagree, that's my big worry, because Melbourne, if he's playing half forward, how's he building his score? You have to do it sort of through marks and goals, because he's not going to win a high amount of possessions. The fact is, Melbourne's disposal through the midfield is pretty terrible, so I can't even count on the marks. So,
well, that's why I think he will start to get used in the midfield. And remember, he got a delayed 12-month start. So the reality, his third season, so his breakout year is actually next year.
Well, I understand, but it's just like I look at a guy like Paul Chapman. It took him several years to become a good scorer. So that's just my worry. And I think he's got the big value with being the number one pick. Anyway,
I'm kicking off with my young guns. I've got Jason Johannesson, Zach Williams, and Rory Laird in the defence. For me, I'm looking at Rory Laird. He's a keeper. Average 100 in both formats. Absolute superstar. All Australian this year. He's nominated in the squad the last 2 years. there's no chance of a tag coming his way with a bloke by the name of Rory Sloan in that team. And they also put time into Brody Smith, as they see him as more damaging. For me, Zach Williams, I think he's going to be a great trade target this year. I mean, Heath Shaw's coming to the end of his career. We've seen it this year. Zach Williams is starting to take the Heath Shaw role with a few kick-ins and that rebound defender as well. Improved his average significantly to 94 Supercoach and 84 Dream Team. He's going to be in that team. What is he? He's 23 next year, so you've got a defender there for the next 10 years for him. And Jason Johannesson, for me, I'm going to dump him. He worries the hell out of me. I mean, he's got the body issues. We've seen him do hamstrings and whatnot. We saw him get the tag this year and just didn't handle it at all. So he's regressed in his scoring. It's gone back massively to back to where he was before his breakout year in the 70s and 80s. So not good for me. Your thoughts, guys?
Yeah, for me, I think it's really easy. I'm going to take Zach Williams. I'm keeping him every day of the week. I think he's an absolute jet. Champion data by position. I think they've been released at the under 23 players. He is far and away the best under 23 when you compare him to players playing his position in his at that same age. Heath Shaw's gone. I think he's an absolute superstar in Supercoach. He's playing in a great team.
I didn't mention Heath Shaw. Rory Laird or JJ?
I said Heath Shaw's gone.
Oh, sorry.
Try listening. So for me, I'm keeping Zach Williams. Rory Laird, great player, but he's got massive trade value. I'm getting rid of him, getting something great in return, and JJ, I think it's an obvious cut.
I think for AFL fantasy, it's easy to say Laird, you keep. Zach Williams, you trade, and JJ, you drop. You've got the potential actually picking up JJ later on when you redraft, because I don't think he's going to be hot property, and he could be undervalued. But the interesting point, and I agree with you, Steve, it really depends what your mix is. If you're a very smart person and have traded in Sam Doherty throughout the year, and you had both Laird and Doherty and Williams, actually having Laird is great trade value. You could really fix up some other line using Laird and keeping Zach Williams, who I agree is actually undervalued. So right now he's undervalued. So he's got a fair way to peak up. But still the automatic approach in AFL fantasy would be keep Laird, trade Zach, and delist JJ.
And just for a point of reference, in our Listener League Keeper League, Zach Williams went pick 63 in the sixth round. So some massive return on value there as well.
Absolutely. What did Laird go? Would he be about round three?
Round two, pick 16, and Johannesson, pick 29 in round three.
Yeah, so Zach Williams. And I still think Zach Williams, because he had a few change of roles and played a bit as a forward line where he was scoring in the 30s, God bless him, which has actually dropped down his average and probably dropped down his value a little bit. And that's why at the end of the day, he's probably undervalued right now, which makes him hard to trade.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I'll go on my three young guns. I have a clear plan here, gentlemen, and I didn't go easy outs like select JJ or Hogan, gents. I went the hardcore. So we're talking the mids here. This is the young guns. I'm just having a crack at you two. I see your eyes rolling. That's okay. But let's talk about Zach Merritt, Josh Kelly, and Matt Crouch, gentlemen. What would you do with those three fabulous Jets?
For me, I am trading Josh Kelly, because the unknown is Steve's just losing his mind here. Losing his mind. Because, hey, we don't know if he's re-signed with the GWS yet. If he does go to another team, say North Melbourne, can he carry a midfield on his own? We haven't seen him get the tag. He's had a breakout year, but we've got to see more of it. For me, it's horses for courses for me. I'm only going this way because I love the bloke. It's Matty Crouch, I'm keeping. I think that guy's a star. We see the Crows are in premiership contention. Even with Sloan out, didn't seem to faze him. Even on the weekend against the GWS, still scored massively. Young, body issues not a problem, stays on the park. So Matty Crouch, I'm keeping. And unfortunately, it's very hard, this one. Zach Merritt, I got to drop him because, yeah, great ceiling and everything, but cops the tag and gives you a few bad scores. It's good night for him. Steve.
Yeah, look, here's the correct approach with these three players. You are keeping Josh Kelly, who can beat a tag when he's had it, who is an electric player, who didn't score below 91 after round six. Fantastic consistency. You are absolutely keeping that jet. You're trading Zach Merritt, who's gone back-to-back 117s, which is elite, and maybe he does keep it up, but I feel there has to be some regression. Like, it's just... And we saw he started to get tags towards the end of the year, and we started to see him move more inside where he wasn't racking up huge numbers, and he did have some lower scores in that role. And you're dropping Matt Crouch, because what's the one thing Adelaide are trying to recruit at the moment that we know? A gun mid.
An old Bryce Gibbs.
They're trying to recruit a gun mid. That can't be good for Matt Crouch. Now, if you... I just don't see it any other way. And it sucks because they're all fantastic players, but that's... I think it's kind of easy, to be honest.
Okay, gentlemen, I'll tell you the real way to go. And, of course, I'm probably dealing with another game. But I will say mine's not on gut feel. Mine's on evidence and research. I will say whenever I'm dealing with these, I always look on a three-year history gap. With the younger fellas, you can't really go 3 years because of the breakout year rule, if that makes sense. So you have to go a bit shorter period. So I've based it on a two-year summary. So the bottom line is Zach Merritt, past two seasons, played 43 games, 117 average in AFL Fantasy, and 110 average in Supercoach. This includes a block where he changed his role and was tagged. Now, the bottom line, both years he averaged pretty much the same, 117 and 110. I think there was basically a point the difference overall. So mix in the good with the bad. This is what this fellow gives you, 117 and 110 in Supercoach, but I want to concentrate on AFL Fantasy. Josh Kelly, past two seasons, played 43 games, the same as Zach Merritt, 101 average in both AFL Fantasy and Supercoach. Now, you will point out, well, this year's his breakout. Well, it's still 4 points below Zach Merritt. 113 is his peak year. As Jono said, there is a few question marks, but his peak of his peak has already shown to be 113. So he's going to be a mid-teens, 100-teens player. And Matt Crouch, past two seasons, played 42 games, only one less than the other two. Exactly the same average as Josh Kelly, 101 in both AFL Fantasy and in Supercoach. The ceiling, gentlemen, is with Zach Merritt. The second ceiling is Josh Kelly, and the third ceiling, and he finally showed he got a ceiling in his last round, Matt Crouch, with getting 150 in his last game. Best ever score. First time he's cracked 150. So, therefore, on that data, you keep Zach Merritt. Yes, three of us, three different answers, one for Crouch, one for Kelly, one for Zach Merritt. You trade Kelly because everyone's madly in love with this bloke. He's got so much value, you're going to get a huge amount in return. And sadly, you delist Matt Crouch. In reality, gentlemen, if those three are sitting in your keeper, there's no way you're moving any of the three on. That's the reality. But that's the way I'd go if you're dealing with AFL Fantasy.
Think about it like this. Can I just throw this at you? I know Johnny said you dropped Matt Crouch. Can you imagine if each of these guys had a bad six-week block? Which one are you going to be able to get back?
None.
No, but theoretically.
Probably Matt Crouch if you had a bad six-week block.
It's just brand value for me. Brand value. Anyway, we'll move on to the next bunch. I got some old boys for you. I got some old boys. So maybe you're looking at a premiership tilt. Maybe you got a few of these guys. But we all have a few old guys in our team. Statesman, probably more than others. But give me the answer. Give me the answer between Jared Roughhead, fantastic comeback story, Brett Deledio, and Justin Westhoff, perennially underrated Justin Westhoff. So they've all probably got 1 year left, maybe two.
Yeah, for me, easy. You keep Roughhead, especially with his last little block of form looked like he really started to get to what we know. You trade Dids because he's probably still got value by morons like myself that were jumping on his bandwagon at the beginning of this year. And you delist Westhoff. But in saying that, a Dids is feelers out there. If you get no feelers, you try and do the feelers for Westhoff.
Yeah, I'm just slightly different to you. I'm agreeing with you. Keep Roughhead for me, as you said, that last block in the last, what, 6-7 weeks when the Hawks were up and about, showed he's still got the potential to score. But I'm dropping Lids. He's passed it for me. Just hasn't shown anything. Looks like the game's probably gone past him for me. And you could put, if you need a bench spot, yeah, maybe you pick him up there in the 20th round or something like that. And for me, the Hoff, he has got that home brand style value. Does put out some good scores in a good matchup. So, you know, I mean, you're not going to get an A grader for him, but he'd be a good middle of the road, good F3, which I have used him in our league of records, Steve, and put up some good scores for me. So does have some trade value for me.
Well, I think he actually averaged more than Roughhead, and that's why I had him in the question. For me, I actually trade Roughhead because, to me, he's actually the one who's got value out of this bunch. I keep Deledio because if I'm keeping an old boy, I'm probably lining up for a tilt. He's probably got the most upside.
I agree, and he's the one that, if everything goes right, he's going to have the higher average.
Yeah, and I feel I can generally replace Roughhead, although he's a good player, but I think he's got the most value. And if we're honest, no one really wants Justin Westhoff, despite the fact he is generally pretty good and usually pretty good value on where you pick him up each year.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. Moving on to my old boys, I've gone with Cade Simpson from the Blues, Heath Shaw, and Jared McVeigh. Staceman, you are just shaking your head in disdain. I'm actually surprised if you even know who these fellas are because they are over the age of 30.
You're pretty much right. I would keep Simpson, and I'm only thinking that Colton probably still need him around, if that makes sense. So he still needs to help and guide that young team. I would trade Shaw because I think Shaw would still have some value. And I say that's the people that get hooked in names, and they're the people that draft these 30-year-olds. I don't know who would draft an old team, but there are those that do. And I would drop McVeigh because he's just that injury prone at the moment. I don't think his scoring is that crash out. I think he has a couple of high ceiling games a year now. He's nowhere near the man we used to know. So that's probably where I'd sit it.
Yeah, boringly enough, I'm the exact same, and it's just durability, quite frankly. Cade Simpson never misses. Keep him. Drop McVeigh, always misses. And like Statesman said, if someone's buying a brand value, it's probably Heath Shaw.
Yeah, it looks like we're 3-for-3 on this one. That's how I've got it here. Simpson is just the poster boy for consistency. As Steve said, he hasn't hardly missed a game in his 12-year career. I think he's missed a count of like 5 or 6 games that he's missed. So very durable. He does turn 34 next year, Statesman, so I know you'll have no interest in him whatsoever. He's had an average between 90 and 100 in both formats. The tag's not going to go to him, as you said, Statesman. The game plan for the Blues, is needed in that team. So just keep him and ride him into the ground till he retires.
Yeah, as soon as you get past 32, I've got no interest in speaking to you. I'm actually surprised I'm still speaking to you two.
Well, Heater's not past 32 yet. He'll be 32 at the start of the 2018 season. So had his first average under 90 in Supercoach since his debut. So he's been a model of consistency as well. He's been a fantasy stud. But as you said, Statesman, he's got that name brand. So you still are going to get a good trade for him. And McVeigh, yeah, had some old man injuries last year in that calf and hamstring. Took a bit longer to recover from. And you've got the young guns in Newman, Mills, and Lloyd coming through that defense / midfield as well. So really going to take battle for him to get a spot in that squad.
I will say you could make the argument in Supercoach to keep Shaw, but he would be a frustrating own.
That's why I went with the Simpson. It's just he's been super consistent. And, it would be, as you would know, Steve, didn't you draft him?
Traded him out pretty quick, smart.
Yeah, worst average in both formats in his career, so this year.
But, and it's really hard to tell with these older guys of when they fall off the cliff. Nick Riewoldt's a classic example, 200 in last year's grand final, and unfortunately more injury-based, but we just never saw that from Nick Riewoldt this year, and I think he's had the biggest drop of average, something like 25, 26 points his average drop this year. So you just don't know where they're going to fall off the cliff.
Matty Boyd as well, he was a 100 averaging defender as well last year. And
All Australian.
All Australian as well.
And premiership player.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on to the old mids. Now, obviously, we all have a different term of old. I've gone for the three players that are all turning 30 at the beginning of next year. So 30 is very old for me. You guys sort of deal with digits after 30, but I don't. So these are three Jets and three loved fantasy players. So I'll be interested to see what your thoughts are here, gentlemen. Of course, I'll finish off with my data. But Pendlebury, Joel Selwood, and JPK, all within 5 months of each other, all born the same year. Jono, what would you do?
Starting off, for Supercoach, I'm dropping JPK. We did see the Swans take a while to fire up this year, and like the Swans midfield, we just didn't see that return of value until late in the season. If you want to talk a little bit in terms of Dream Team as well, I actually did, in Keeper, I did draft JPK this year and did trade him out for a younger Tom Scully because coming to the end of his career, I wanted something a bit younger that's going to propel me in the longer term. I'm keeping...
We asked 100 people the question and no one answered that way.
I am keeping Scotty Pendlebury. This guy's been a fantasy stud for ages. Since breaking his leg, I think it was back in 2010 or 11 it was. He's hardly missed a game. Yeah, he got the busted fingers this year, but the guy just keeps getting it done. He's going to lead that midfield for a couple more years. I know you don't agree, Statesman, because you think he's going to play defence or forward at some stage. I don't see that happening. And Scotty Selwood, he's got that name brand value. He's had an okay year this year in Supercoach.
You might have chosen the wrong Selwood there, buddy.
Hey, as a Joel Selwood owner,
You said Scott.
Did I? Yeah. Joel Selwood was up here in my bro. That's right. I'm still trading both of them out. I think you both get stuff. 2-for-1 package. There you go. I'm trading Joel because as an owner of him this year in our legal record, he was frustrating to own. He didn't quite hit that. I was expecting a 10 to 12 average for him this year. Didn't quite get there. Dangers took all the glory again and the rise of Duncan and a few others. I think he just came back to the pack in terms of fantasy scoring. So there's other players in that sort of bracket that I'd be looking at to go ahead of Selwood in the coming years, I would think.
Yeah, so, I gotta say, I found this, out of all the ones we had, I found this the toughest because I found it really hard to work out who I thought had the best trade value. And I guess it's very league dependent. I actually think Pendles is probably the best guy to trade out, but he's also the one I want to keep. So I'm going to keep Scott Pendlebury. I know he's been injured, but I actually think he's the most durable of the bunch. So that's what it comes down to. And out of the three, he feels like the one who's most suited to other roles, which will prolong his career, and maybe he gets a DPP. I trade JPK because I think he's got better name. People love JPK. I think he's got better name recognition. And I get rid of Joel Selwood. It just crumbles under the tag. And that's really the only thing that separates these three. And Pendlebury, to me, is the one I don't really care which of the other two I drop because I just think they're so role-dependent. Like, once they're not... Like we saw with Matt Prittis, once they're not an inside mid, that's what... that they don't have other tricks. They've tried JPK forward, can't do it. I don't like it. For me, it's really splitting hairs, but I keep Pendles, trade JPK, and drop Selwood.
So going to the data, gentlemen, past three seasons, leading in games played is JPK, 62 out of 66, gentlemen. Pendlebury, 60. Joel Selwood, 60. So two games ahead for JPK. AFL fantasy average, Pendlebury 108.7, JPK 108.3, Joel Selwood 98.5. 10 points below both of them. Supercoach, 114.5 to Pendlebury, 112.2 to JPK, and 106.1 to Joel Selwood. The cut is easy, gentlemen. You've got to get rid of one of these three. Joel Selwood goes, has played the equal lowest game and by far the lowest scorer out of the three. Makes sense so far?
Yeah, but he gets the most free kicks each year.
And then moving to who do you keep, who do you trade? And we had the same discussion in our own heads, Steve. I just went the other way because I believe Pendlebury has got the trade value and the consistency and the reliance on the games played got JPK over the line. I just think you get a lot more for Pendlebury than you do JPK. And when you're dealing with the total score for those players over those 3 years, Pendles is just above JPK and Selwood is a mile behind him. It's just quite easy to go. JPK I keep because he's at a better value. He's the brand is better with Pendlebury. You get more by trading Pendlebury.
Yeah, and that's fair enough. I will say I think the games played is a little bit like Pendlebury's issue, injury wasn't a soft tissue injury for me. I kind of discount those ones. It's not like a calf or...
JPK's only had the one, though.
Yeah.
And it's recent in their minds, but it's the one.
But it's... I understand what you're saying. It's a tough one. I think just Pendlebury ages a little bit better. But
like a fine peanut.
Could be wrong. But you're right. He probably does have better value. Like, we both kept him. Me and Jono both kept him, so...
And if you are liking the shows, just to let you know, we are on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. So hit that little subscribe button on your device, and each and every episode of The Draft Doctors will come onto your device each and every week. And if you really love the show, take a couple of minutes out of your time, hit that review button, leave a couple of sentences. It really helps us get our brand out there. And... Gents, just before we move on, I did a search of the show just for my own amusement. And you type in AFL Fantasy, it comes up the traders, us. But if you scroll down a couple more, there is Fantasy Sisters. It's like a German podcast, and I have no idea what it means. But
I'm pretty sure this podcast is illegal in Tasmania.
The tag was just sexuality.
We go to Fish Week. To get that podcast.
I couldn't understand it, but all I heard saw was sex toys and a sexuality. So that comes under if you search AFL Fantasy in the App Store. So quite remarkable.
Sorry to everyone that listens to this podcast, and we're hoping for more sexual content.
What we need is for our listeners to go over to that podcast and leave a review over there. Then we'll get cross-referenced and we'll show up in the Fantasy Sisters. Your listeners also listen to this. There could be a good whole cross-promotion thing. We could have them on as a guest.
Use a sexual toy on Pendles, Selwood, or JP.
Oh, God. Just no blow-up Moving dolls on. Of Isaac Heaney. That'd be...
And moving on to your last round of players in forwards there, Steve.
Yeah, okay. So we've got some three guys who are just coming into their peak and they've sort of broken out or their values. I'll be honest, the forwards are a bit of a horror show this year. So these guys are probably top keepers and I think they all finished as sort of bottom-end F2s, high-end F3s. But I'll give you, who are you keeping out of Jeremy Cameron, Joe Danaher, and lunch meat, Devon Smith. Jono, why don't you go first? Give me a super coach take.
Super coach take. I am keeping smoking Joe Danaher. He is an absolute jet, this guy. Basically, it's like an RKO out of nowhere, just drafted really late in just about every single league that I saw was in the 18th to 20th round as a bench cover. As Steve said, rocketed right up to be that F2, F3. Massive ceiling with that Essendon midfield developing. His supply is just going to get even greater, I think, to what it was this year. Still young. I think he's, what, 22, 23. So keeping Joe Danaher for me. Lunch meat. And Statesman's going to pop the champagne here. I'm dropping him. Just purely on the fact of games played. He can't get on the park consistently. Hey, look, we know he's been a great scorer when he is on the park, but just that consistency really, really worries me. And leaving Jeremy Cameron as that trade target, was right up there in the Coleman this year, had a really good year. We've seen him start to push up the ground as well to that high half forward on the wing. Takes lots of marks, kicks goals, as we saw, he's up there in the Coleman. So people will be looking to add depth to their forward line, go for Jeremy Cameron, because it's probably not going to cost you the farm to get him either.
And I'll go through, gentlemen. I think you remember I wrote an article at the beginning of the year stating, while you're away, I become a good player, and that was Joey Danaher. You showed it this year. I think I make pretty clear statements when you're talking AFL fantasy. You try to avoid the key position players, with exception to Buddy, and this is mini-me. Not quite as good and won't be as good as Lance Franklin, but he's not too far away, and I think he's going to be a player that has a huge ceiling, but there will be games that he gets closed down a little bit. That's just the reality. So I would keep Joey Danaher. I think Jeremy Cameron's early season form certainly showed that he's got big scoring power. I don't think anyone's going to dispute that GWS are going to be roundabouts for the next 3, 4, 5 years. So he should be a decent scorer. And he has value because of that early season. I am a little bit alarmed with someone at that age actually having soft tissue injuries. So that seems to be a bit continuous. But he has got great trade value. And as much as I love Devon Smith, and it's more because we were doing a show and link through Devon, but at the end of the day, he's got a great amount of ability, but he just hasn't squared it away to be a must-have in a keeper league. But I think he has the potential, but a lot of things need to go right, and we're not seeing that yet, so I'll be dropping him.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That's really interesting. I actually keep Joe Danaher as well, but I think I trade Devon Smith, and this probably it might be surprising, but as a Devon Smith owner, I had Devon Smith, I think, the last 2 years or two of the last 3 years in our league record. People love Devon Smith. Yep. They just love him. And fair enough, he's a very good player, but I think his trade value is fantastic. Whereas I think with Jeremy Cameron, yes, he had a really good first half, but I think people are wary enough of him that he throws out some really poor scores. I think you'll get more for Devon Smith. And I think you'll probably be able to draft Jeremy Cameron back, to be honest.
Hmm.
Unless you're in our league of record and the listener league where one Statesman dropped Devon Smith and someone was able to pick him off the waiver wire free of charge.
Well, that's this year. That's a redraft.
Didn't play him, though, but it's good to have him on my team.
He's very good at not playing.
Exactly right. And when he did, he puts up donut motlop type scores.
Well, I would expect him to go to a different team, and I think he'll get a more favourable fantasy role as well.
Yep, agreed.
Yep. Yeah, no, good point as well. My last batch of defenders come into, you call it middle age. We'll call it middle age. They're all around that 28, 27 age mark. Kicking off with Jeremy Howe, Michael Hurley, and Zach Tui. Statesman, who are you keeping, trading, and cutting?
It's a tough one, to be quite blunt. There's something about Tui I don't like, and maybe because he used to wear a Carlton jumper. That could be it. Jeremy Howe, I've owned him before and enjoyed having him. If he ever moved to the forward role, I'll be concerned, but I think he's got his slot now in defence. And Hurley, what an exceptional season. I don't know if this scoring can keep up. With him, I think Howe has got the potential to be more consistent, although we know Geelong's game plan is to get the ball into Tui's hands, but I think somewhere along the line it becomes a tag target. I think that if it starts working for him, then he's going to be closed down. So even though all three are pretty similar to me, I would keep Howe. I would trade Hurley because the great season he had. So I think his value is almost as max as it's going to get. And I would drop Tui.
Your thoughts, Steve?
Yeah, I'm a little bit different. I'll give you my take from a Supercoach point of view. And I think Statesman's right in saying that Hurley's maxed out, but he's still, for me, the one I keep because I think he's just got the best ceiling out of the bunch. To me, I actually trade Jeremy Howe because I think Collingwood have got a bunch of these intercept defenders, and I think if anyone's going to suffer, it's just from a volume perspective, it's actually Jeremy Howe. So I want him in someone else's team, and I think he'll probably get pretty fair value considering what him and Tui put out. So if I'm going to be able to get any of them back and want them back, it's probably Zach Tui. So I'll just cold drop him. Not that he's a bad player or anything, but I will keep Michael Hurley because, look, we're just seeing the rise of defenders who can intercept mark. Quite frankly, they are the top scorers. And I just don't think Howe's as good or as consistent as Michael Hurley.
Did you break into my house and steal my notes, Steve? Because that's pretty much what I've.
Well, if I wanted to lose, I would do that.
Oh, so pretty much agreeing with Steve. I am keeping Michael Hurley. He's just smashed it this year. His disposal efficiency is around the 80% mark, which is fantastic. He's got the Essendon had that game plan that suits the running defenders and intercepting defenders. Jeremy Howe, yeah, as Steve said, they've just got a lot of those same defenders. So how he's going to be fitting into that Collingwood team next year, just got a slight concern. He's had two great years when going down back. So you're going to get some great value return for him when you do trade him. And you're right with Zach Tui there, Statesman. I can possibly see the tag coming to him because they are going to be looking at him, especially now that you've got Mackie and Lonergan retiring. They're going to be looking to him to lead that defence because he's the most experienced one there now with the likes of Collar Jasny and that down back. So, look, Tui went in the eighth round, pick 89 in the keeper league, so did return value, but I still think you can get him. Probably might have to pay a little bit more in the sixth round to get him. Hurley returned great value in the 12th round at pick 143 this year, so that's massive there. And Jeremy Howe was pick 93 in the eighth round as well. So some pretty good value there for both. But, yep, I agree with Steve.
And I think what we need to share with the listeners is all three of us played in a high-level keeper league. Two of us made finals. Two of us made grand final. One of us won it. So when you're listening to advice, just make sure you take that into reference. But I also should point out, which, to be fair and honest, is all three of us play Supercoach, but only two of us play it well, and I'm not involved in that too.
Are you sure about that?
moving on to prime mid. So I picked 26-year-olds, again, all born in the same year. Gentlemen, Dustin Martin, Mitch Duncan, and Dan Hand.
Yeah, I think I found this one pretty easy, actually, for my tastes. And number one, I keep Dustin Martin. Absolutely. Exceptionally, exceptionally durable player at the height of his powers. I think he ages pretty well as well. We know his ability going forward, so he's always a chance to go forward and get DPP. I trade Dan Hand. Got great name value. And with the likes of Heaney and Hewitt going into the midfield, I think the points are, and Dan Hand's been shifted completely outside, and the points have come down. I think Dan Hand, you may as well cash in now. And Mitch Duncan, I hate dropping him, but it's just, there's a little bit of durability issue. Really, this has been his one bumper season, I guess you'd say. So I drop Mitch Duncan.
Yeah, and again, Steve, I think you've been looking at my notes because I totally agree on all the points you've said there. Dan Hand does have that name value. We saw it earlier in the year. He was struggling when he was off the grog. So you would have paid, you would have been able to get him maybe a little bit cheaper than when he kicked off later in the year. So target him. Mitch Duncan, he's not that name brand like your Dusty or your Dangerfield. So you're probably going to pick him up late in the draft. He will return you that value. And again, that durability issue with him as well. I think this is his first year where he played every game.
I think you actually, if you ask me right now who was going to average more next year out of Mitch Duncan and Dan Hand, it's probably Mitch Duncan. But I just think you're going to get better return on Dan Hand's name.
Okay, going through the facts and figures in games played, Martin 66, Dan Hand 65, Mitch Duncan 54. Huge difference there, gentlemen. AFL fantasy scoring over the past three seasons, Dustin Martin 108, Dan Hand 104.6, and Mitch Duncan 98.6. Then the super coach, Dustin Martin 111, Dan Hand 108.1, and Mitch Duncan 98.6 again. So Mitch Duncan's had the one standout year in AFL fantasies, averaged 113. So the trading factor, I think Dusty's easy to keep. The trading factor, it actually all depends on the audience. So if people were just looking at last year, change of roles, all that type of stuff, then Mitch Duncan might have greater value, averaging 113 versus 98. But I think you're right, gentlemen, and I went the same way. Keep Dusty, trade Dan Hand, and delist Duncan, because I reckon the seasonal players look at Dan Hand and say he's a top 10 mid. I traded him out in the keeper halfway through the year, just noticed. And to be fair, the weird thing was I think I drafted Dan Hand with my first pick as my captain choice, thinking he was still that top 10 midfielder.
And just what was that trade you did for Dan Hand in the keeper league? Just for the
listeners. So I tried to look for the longer game. One of them I've lost, but that's beside the point. Matthew Kennedy, Jimmy Webster, and Callan Ward.
Fair trade.
He got Josh Caddy too. So it was Dan Hand and Josh Caddy.
Just for Dan Hand, basically.
Yeah. Correct. That's the way I looked at it, yes.
So 3-for-1 deal. Good deal. But that wraps up the keeper content for the show this week. But we do have a lot of questions this week, so thank you very much for sending your questions in all through on Twitter, where you can find us at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33, or on Facebook, just search The Draft Doctors there. First question comes from @Bales_81. He asks, I've been offered a dumpster fire for Motlop.
Yeah, I think this is a really easy one. I think you take the dumpster fire.
Yeah, it's going to keep you warm.
The one thing about a dumpster fire is, look, it doesn't have a great ceiling, but it's got a really great floor, okay?
And it's, so it's solid, solid in defense as well. It's built like a brick.
And if any time you want to throw one of your players into that dumpster fire, it's always on hand. I think it's a no-brainer.
What's his points per minute like there, Stace, when you got those?
question, What happens if, for example, Motlop ends up at the Gold Coast?
Then they have a Miller-type player.
I think he's just still up and down, unfortunately. Okay. Like we saw this year that he was actually playing better football as a small forward, and they moved him into the midfield and was worse. So
average 70 is waiver wire.
So, yeah.
In a deep league, he's waiver wire.
Yep. Very replaceable.
Our next question comes from Crippled Brewer on Twitter. He goes, please explain some trading strategies for different situations you might be in a keeper league. It's actually pretty good because we're all in the this phase. We've got the rebuild, building, and going for glory.
Trading strategy going for glory. Is that what you're asking?
All three. There's all three there, but pick one and go for it, and we'll have a bit of a discussion.
I seriously don't think... I believe in list management philosophy. So list management philosophy is that you always try to get your best team for now while keeping an eye on the future, if that makes sense. So in this game, because we're not looking at how valuable they are to the team, but how valuable they are to our team, if that makes sense, you've got to start being reactionary rather than have a name, have someone that scores your points. And I think we all get lost if someone was a 95 averaging mid Let's use a Travis Boak, for example. We might go, oh, we don't like Travis Boak. He's been moved forward. But if next year he actually ends up being a forward, all of a sudden he's a top six forward, averaging the 85 to 90. And being 29 years of age at a keeper, you might look at him and say, well, he's only got two more years, but that might be two premierships because you've got one of the top six forwards, especially using him. You might all of a sudden be marrying him up with a Billings, etc. So I think it's always about getting the list management balance right. If you try to have 22 potential breakout players that are all keeper, and I look at some lists and going, well, you've got 18 to 20 keepers in there, but you only keep 10. Mm. So why have the 13th and 14th? So I actually start getting rid of who have I got on that lower end or who's coming to the end of the career that I just don't feel is going to be my next line of keepers, and that's when I start trading them out, if that makes sense. So I think no matter where you are in the phase, whether you're bottom of the table or top of the table, you're still list managing. So it's going, okay, who's my best 10? And are they the best 10 in my team for next year? If you say yes, then you just are trying to find the best group of players around that that can score the most points on a week-to-week basis. If they're actually not, only seven of them are potentially in your best team next year, then it's probably smart to make a move on Petrarca, who is actually going to step up and be from 14th this year to number eight next year. Does that make sense, gentlemen? So that's – I list manage the whole time.
So
maybe overthink.
So you're rebuilding, building, and going for glory all at the same time, basically.
Correct. Yep. So when people say to me, they'll look at a trade and go, oh, you're throwing in the towel. Well, actually, I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm just keeping myself in the run for the next year.
Yep. Fair
still,
enough.
Still having a crack at winning this year, but I'm just trying to set up to make sure that I'm in it next year as well.
And we see with fantasy is like once you make finals, really anything can happen. Like if we looked at your team this year, Statesman, you have Sam Manigola, was playing forward, scoring okay. Joel Selwood goes out, bang, he's in the guts, goes 130. Things like that happen all the time. I got a couple little things. I'll say I don't look too far in front. I want to look three seasons in front because players get role changes, players get knee injuries, things like that happen
players
all the time.
Players get delisted.
Exactly. And I'll say you want a good midfield. Because we see it every single year, and we'll harp on about it. You can pick up forwards. You can pick up defenders. Look at this year. You had Charlie Kurnia, who was barely drafted. Bang, he's an automatic keeper. You had Alex Witherden. Who was he at the start of the year? Bang, he's an automatic keeper. Okay,
Ryan Burton.
Bang, an automatic keeper. These things happen. With the midfielders, all right, I looked at the top 100 averaging midfielders, and they had a drafted rate of at least 40%, with the exception of Mitch Hallahan and Alex Witherden, who was a defender. Okay, that is the top 100. So you're just not going to get these guys who are going to step in and go bang automatically. With the forwards and defenders, you can find this gold.
And I will say, and I'll use my example, the grand final week, I went straight to the waiver wire. Burton was out. You know, that's bit of a rough call, but bad luck. But I could go to the waiver wire, grand final week, and pick up Matty Boyd and Pops Kelly. So between those two, they scored 230 for me. Mm. So each and now they, this is in a keeper league. Of course, they're getting delisted the following week. They're going on their premiership party and leaving. But I wasn't sacrificing anything major for next year. I did, and I will say, I sacrificed a 3 to 5 year gun player, being Matthew Kennedy, and someone very smartly picked them up. But I dropped them expecting that as soon as they play grand final week, I'll pick him back up. But I was a little bit slow on the uptake. But that's the risk you take. But was Matthew Kennedy definitely in the 12? Because it's a 12 keeper league. Oh, was he definitely in the 12? No, he wasn't. I was going to risk that I'd drop him off and redraft him.
And very high chance of that happening.
Still, yes.
Yep. Our next question comes from OTLS Archie, and he asks, who to keep out of Jaeger O'Meara or David Swallow?
Can I say I'm keeping Jaeger
really
out of those two? I'm kind of interested in David Swallow, but I'm looking at pure upside. David Swallow's shown one good season. He had great opportunities with his role this year. Didn't perform. Gary Ablett's out of that side. There's no reason to suggest he'll tear it up. They've both had serious knee issues. Give me the guy with the super upside.
Can I say this to Archie? This is quite serious, and this is going to who's your 10 and who's your 12. I'll be very surprised if either of those in our keeper league is actually retained. I would say most likely both should be dropped.
Well, you know, people play different depths of leagues. Like we know there's people who listen who keep 20 and there's people who keep one, so.
Yeah, if you're in a if you're in a league that keeps 30 out of 40, and I was to pick one, I'd struggle, to be honest.
I'm still debating this, and I've seen this question for a few days.
Yeah.
You fence-sitting bastards.
I am a fence-sitter. If I gun to my head, I'm saying no.
I think O'Meara, if both of them actually fix themselves, O'Meara's got a higher ceiling.
From at Rudnut on Twitter, after old Jared McVay re-signed, he goes, does this cripple Lloyd's scoring output for next season with McVay in the team?
It depends really on roles. In a keeper, just stay with Lloyd, be happy. I reckon he just drops a couple of rounds in a season league. At the end of the day, I think the best way to look at it is what happens in the finals is a really good indicator. Lloyd turned up. So I think future role is he's going to be there. And McVay's chances of playing a full season next year are close to zero, I reckon.
Only, was it 11 or 15 games this year? Something like that.
So back in Lloyd, he just drops back a few rounds in the one season leagues.
From at Bangers and Mash 85, in his keeper league, he's got someone chasing Dane Zorko. How do you rate his value
at in terms peak. Of a trade? Trade. I was actually mulling over in my head who you could be asking for, and I came up with two names, gentlemen, and the first one that popped in my head was, I just think it's a bit sus when you're trading position for position. So I thought of a defender, and I thought Rory Laird would be a really good person to ask for. And I also thought if you wanted to, but look, and the other one was a midfielder, and I thought of the name Jack McRae. Jack McRae is about to have something strange happen. He's about to lose his forward status. Now, people artificially will presume that drops his value, but you're talking about a guy who's gone 100, 100, 100 for the last 3 years. He did it from his second season. I think he's very young. He's a superstar player, but continually underrated. He lives in the shadow of Bont, but I think he's a really good trade target if you had Zorko.
And moved from the wing to inside midfield this year.
In a keeper league, I would quite happily accept Jack Billings for Dane Zorko too.
Would you get him, you reckon?
Maybe.
I think so. So, yeah, Bangers Mash. The ceiling's high for Dane Zorko. You can get everyone probably other than Dusty or Danger unless you package it up. So go reach for the stars.
Look what you're missing.
Yeah.
Mm. From your mate, we got Big Cox here, Staceman. He asked...
Can we move on to the next question, please?
Oh, no, there's no saltiness or anything like that. He's,
all right.
He's looking for his last keeper slot in a 12-team, 10-keeper league. His last position he's looking to hold on to, he's got Nick Newman, Darcy Parrish, or Jacob Hopper. So who does he keep out of that? It's a two-parter. And what chances do Dom Sheed and Connor Blakely get DPP next year?
Dom Sheed, definitely not DDP. He'll be a centre only. That's where he spent. That's where he spent most of the time. That's where he's going to play. Who were the three?
Newman, Parrish, or Hopper.
I'd go Parrish, Hopper, Newman. I rate all three, but I think we talked the Black Bookers. Parrish was Steve's choice last week, and I think he's going to be an absolute jet. I really, really like Newman, but I'm just not convinced for another 12 months with McVeigh around, because when he's on the halfback role, he's an absolute jet. So just because McVeigh's around, I just hold him in third position at the moment.
Yeah, no, totally agree on that. And when Big Cox put this up, I put Connor Blakely's heat map up, and it was predominantly in the back line. And we did see he played most of the second half in that back line, so we would expect him to get it, and he got it in a couple of formats as well. So
yeah, so Connor Blakely would be a defender, but Dom Shue to be a centre.
Yep, agree. Steve, any thoughts on that?
I'm not convinced Connor Blakely will be listed as a defender, but it may happen. Dom Shue definitely won't, but yeah, we all hope he does.
Yeah.
And was he pick three in a redraft?
And the last question is from Adam Child on Facebook. There was a couple of friends tagged in this one. He goes, "How do you go about quitting a shit show of a keeper league?" And before you answer, all I can say, Adam, is have you tried turning it on and off again?
Lovely to hear from Warnie Steve.
Yeah, quite frankly, that sounded like a made-up name. Going back to our first question of the night, this is where the dumpster fire comes in handy, boys. You get that team, you shove it in the dumpster fire, away you go.
There you go.
Otherwise, you just go real salty and storm out like a petulant child.
Yeah, and I've done that quite a few times. So, Warnie, don't panic. It can all come back. List management.
That wraps up the show for this week. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Next week, we are talking players who will add or lose their DPP status. So stay tuned for that next week. If you've got any questions, hit us up on the social media. We're on Twitter, at The Draft Doctors, at Statesman33. We've got the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram. Just search in The Draft Doctors. There is no fantasy football going on whatsoever, but if you do want to have a bit of fun, check out Draft Stars. They're doing their Beat Barry competition, so there's a bit of coin to be won there. And when I mean a bit of coin, I mean a couple of bucks, because everyone's beating Barry.
Did you win like $100 on one of these things?
That was the NRL, yes. I did beat Wendell Saylor and got $100 out of him, so pretty happy with that.
Boom.
So thank you, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.